Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Please open your Bibles to the book of James. We are in chapter 3 this morning. James chapter 3. Back in chapter 2, we saw that words are not enough. In chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, we read, "If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, stay warm, and be well fed,' but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead by itself." Our words are not enough. But in chapter 3, we're going to see again how important our words are. James chapter 3, this is God's word. "Not many should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature, able also to control the whole body. Now, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we direct their whole bodies. And consider ships. Though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members. It stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers and sisters? Or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water. Who among you is wise and understanding? By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We saw in chapter 1, "If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless and he deceives himself." your mouth matters. My brother has on occasion told a story about himself in elementary school. He was enduring a kind teacher trying to give a brief lecture to the class. And as she continued to try to speak very graciously and sweetly to all the children about what she was hoping to accomplish and the atmosphere that she hoped to create, my 8-year-old brother, who is older than I am, so this was many years ago, my 8-year-old brother turned to the boy next to him and said, "I wish she'd get to the point." And his friend said, "Tell her." And my brother went, "Can you guess what happened next?" The teacher said, "Yes." And my brother said, "Get to the point." As he stood in the hall moments later, he said his entire life flashed before his eyes, and he thought about what our dad would do to him when he found out that he had spoken so disrespectfully to a teacher. There are times when we're tempted to say things we ought not to say. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 12 that the mouth speaks out of the abundance of what's in the heart. Our heart overflows with stuff, and that's why we have a problem with our tongue. Now, James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaks very clearly about the way that the evil that's in us shows up in our tongue, as if it's the tongue to blame, but his point is, you got to get it under control. How many of you know that when you are tempted by an evil thought, that doesn't mean you ought to just go ahead and do what's in your heart? No. All of us are at times drawn in various directions toward things that are not pleasing to God. And if we just think, well, I've got to be true to myself, I just need to do what I feel, follow my heart, you're going to follow it right off a cliff. It is not okay just to do whatever comes naturally. There are times when I have naturally wanted to do things I shouldn't do, like punch somebody in the nose. Not okay. It's not okay. Just because you feel a desire doesn't mean that's what God intends for your life. Please understand that. And so Jesus says, look quickly, don't lose your place in James, but look back in Matthew chapter 12. James is telling us that fresh water and salt water aren't supposed to come from the same spring. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A good person produces good things from his storeroom of good, and an evil person produces evil things from his storeroom of evil. I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Wow. Jesus says we're going to give an account to God for not just some of the things we say, everything we say. Even the stuff we didn't think about a lot, even the stuff that was just a careless word. The old King James says every idle word. Do you ever say something you wish you hadn't said? It comes out of the heart. It comes from what's going on within. In psychology, they have a term, a Freudian slip. You didn't mean to say that, but it is what you were thinking. My wife, when we were first married, went to the dentist, and this is before the advent of cell phones. While she was at the dentist, I was waiting for her to come back so that we could have lunch together. I was young and romantic, but I was still hungry. And I waited and I waited, and I didn't know what time she'd be back, and she didn't know what time she'd be back, and she was a half an hour away in another town getting her tooth fixed. Well, as I got hungrier and the hour got later, I struggled with whether or not to go ahead and just eat. Several times I went and I looked in the refrigerator. Then I would close the refrigerator and think, no, I'll wait for her. Finally, she drove up, and when she got out, one side of her face was droopy because they'd given her a bunch of Novocaine. And she said, I'm sorry, does my face look ridiculous? And I said, actually, it is pretty funny. You ought to go look in the refrigerator. Now, see, that's a Freudian slip. I meant to say you ought to go look in the mirror, but I was hungry. We say what's in our hearts. We say the overflow, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart. It's one thing to have a thought like that. It's another thing to say it. And James is telling us we all stumble in various ways, but the hardest thing to really get a handle on is your tongue. So work on it. Then he says something else that's vital to understanding what we're being called to. No one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, okay, I think I'm getting a mixed message here, because on the one hand, you're saying we need to control our tongue, and on the other hand, he's saying no one can tame the tongue. You've just given me a task and then told me it's impossible. What is impossible with man is possible with God. The solution to our problem is that God is the one who changes hearts, and God is the one who gives us his Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. That's not the whole list, but it's one of the facets of love, and love is what summarizes the whole list of the fruit of the Spirit. You're always going to be tempted. Jesus was tempted, but he never sinned. So what do you do when a thought like that pops into your head? Keep your mouth shut. Amen? Realize that you're supposed to say things that are helpful for building others up. You're supposed to speak the truth in love. Say, well, it was true, but it was not spoken in love. Okay? But realize also that speaking the truth in love means you don't lie in order to spare someone's feelings. Don't think that you are helping people by lying to them or by agreeing with their lies. If I'm a counselor and someone comes to me and says, you know, there aren't a lot of people that I can share this with, but I have realized recently that the reason I have trouble fitting in is I am actually the reincarnation of Napoleon Bonaparte. It would not be loving to say, oh, well, that explains it. Okay? Now, it also wouldn't be loving to say, no, I think it has more to do with the fact you're nuts. Okay? Speak the truth in love.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do three things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand.
Who among you is wise and understanding? By His good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. Gentleness comes from wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Don't pretend you've got it all together. You don't. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Two vital things to see about this. On the one hand, we need to recognize that harsh, bitter, cruel words are not from the Lord. But the second thing is to realize that describing that kind of behavior as earthly, unspiritual, and demonic is not wrong. See, some people think if you say anything to disagree with them, you've created a hostile environment. You're being cruel. I feel assaulted. I don't feel safe around you because you don't approve of my position. It would be cruel to agree with an anorexic person that person is overweight and needs to continue to restrict calories so they can lose weight. When I was in college, there was a very famous singer. She and her brother had a group called the Carpenters, and they had hit after hit after hit after hit, but she was deluded into thinking that somehow she needed to lose weight. And she lost weight to death. Tragic. But let me tell you, she's not alone. There have been tons of people who developed a totally warped perspective on themselves and their bodies, and they began to see themselves as fat, and they thought the solution was just to not eat. And as a result, they've done great harm to their health. Now, I'll tell you this. If you take everybody in America and you line them up, there are a lot more people who are suffering ill health from obesity than there are from anorexia. You follow? Many more people who are overweight in America and suffering bad health as a result than there are people who are underweight in America and suffering bad health as a result. Satan's a judo expert. He doesn't care which cliff you fall off of. He just wants you to fall off a cliff. But folks, if a person who is grossly obese thinks, I've just got to have that whole pizza for myself, the loving thing is not to say, yeah, you deserve it. You've worked hard. Unless it's a personal pan pizza from Pizza Hut. But if a person who is anorexic is saying, I'm sorry, I can't eat anything. I've got to lose weight. It is not loving to agree with them. Now, why am I using those two examples? because those are things we're allowed to talk about. But there are a lot of other problems in our culture and in our churches where people feel like it's unkind. It is cruel to just speak truth and say what God says. And I would plead with you to realize if you love somebody, you tell them the truth in a loving way. Now, there are times when people aren't ready to hear it. Jesus said to his disciples, I have many more things to tell you, but right now you couldn't bear it. Not everybody is ready to hear everything you have to say. And if you're going to be like Jesus, there are times when you don't speak. But be sure that what you do speak is the truth in love. Got that? Where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. That should describe our tongue. That should describe our words. That should describe our relationships. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. The very next chapter is going to be about conflict. It's going to be about the fact that, again, like bad words, conflict comes from within the human heart. The reason we have this problem on the outside is because we have a problem on the inside. Who's the one who can fix us on the inside? Jesus. He's the only one. You can work on yourself and maybe make some improvements, but it's like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. Okay? We can't save ourselves. That's why Jesus came to save us. And he came to save us because he loves us. I want you to know you are dearly loved by God. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what it looks like, I want you to know that God loves you. Because he really does. He really does. But when we believe that God has loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, we need to believe that it's because we had a real problem and that we really do need a new life. Jesus said, you must be born again. You don't just need a little work. You need a brand new life. And he offers it as a gift to all who believe. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that when we were dead in trespasses and sins, you made us alive in Christ Jesus. We thank you that because of who Jesus is and what he has done, we can come to you now with confidence, knowing that you have proved your love. Thank you, Lord. We pray that you would change us from the inside out, that it wouldn't be just us trying to follow rules. It would be us walking in the Spirit, eager to do your will. And we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.